I thought that he was a part of the Trinity, and was away up in the heavens far from the sight of spirits. You certainly astound me. I certainly will. You must be an exceedingly good man to have such a relationship with the Master, the Paget Messages 1915, God. Well, let me think of this. I am confused, and not able to think what it all means. Well, when on earth I was a mere believer in the letter of the Bible, I did not realize what its spiritual teachings meant, and do not now. I was like thousands of others who profess to teach the truths of the Bible. So you see, I am nothing more than an intellectual Christian. I do not yet see that this life is anything more than a mere continuance of the earth life, with the possibilities of greater mental progression and acquirements. So you are my old instructor's late partner. Well, I am certainly glad to have this opportunity to write, only forgive my intrusion. I cannot express to you my appreciation of what you have told me. I want you to pray for me, as I know that your prayers will benefit me much. I did not know that I was causing you to violate the rules of your band, and ask your pardon for doing so. I wish further to say that your motives in permitting me to write have very much affected me, and I commence to think that your love for not only Mr. Riddle but for me must be more than usual among men. I will show you how much I appreciate your interest and kindness in doing what you say. So I will stop now. Well, I had forgotten. But now that you recall it, I do remember, and felt so grateful that the message was conveyed to Riddle. Well, how strangely things happen. To think that your wife, whom I so much admire here now for her beauty and goodness, was the messenger for me on that occasion. It seems as if all things are working together for my good. I am so glad that I came to you tonight. So with all my respect and spirit love, I am your own true friend and searcher after the truth. James A. Garfield. I am here, your old partner. You had a letter from Garfield. He was so anxious to write that I thought it would do no harm to let him try, and I am glad that I did, for what you said to him has impressed him very much, and, I believe, will lead to his seeking information on the subject of the new birth. He is a wonderful spirit intellectually, and has progressed to a very great degree in the investigation of spiritual laws. So that on the whole his writing will do no harm to our band. Well, I do not understand it, as he was a Christian on earth, and one would naturally suppose that he would have made inquiry for Jesus 83, when he came over. But it seems he did not, why I don't know, but now that he realizes what you told him, he undoubtedly will seek the Master at the first opportunity. I shall endeavor to show him the way with all my heart and ability. Yes, I will soon. I am very happy and am progressing rapidly, and expect to soon be in the fifth, spirit, sphere, where your father and Professor Sayers are. Oh, my dear Paget, I cannot tell you what happiness I am now enjoying. Well, I must stop. Mrs. Riddle and Bert are advancing some, but they do not seem to get the light as rapidly as I hoped they would. But they pray, and, I think, are commencing to realize that God's love is waiting for them. So with all my love, and many wishes for your happiness and success, I am your old partner and spirit brother, A. G. Riddle. I am here, your own loving Helen. Well, you had quite a letter from Garfield. He is certainly a wonderful spirit intellectually, as many spirits who come in contact with him say. But he is not very spiritual, I am sorry to say, and do hope that your conversation with him will help him and cause him to search for the truth. No, his writing to you did not interfere with our rapport. Yes, I heard him, and when he meets your grandmother he will undoubtedly be impressed by her, for she is so beautiful and wise and powerful that he will realize that there is within her something that he knows not of. Of course, when he meets with Jesus, he will wonder and listen in great astonishment, and will, I believe, become convinced of the necessity for his new birth. Well, sweetheart, you must stop now. So with all my love I am your own loving and devoted wife, Helen. March 23, 1915 I am here, your grandmother. Well, I am very glad to be with you tonight as I see that you are in a condition of great spiritual exaltation. I was with you at the office and saw what you were thinking of and realized that the love of the Father was filling your soul with happiness. You certainly were very near the Father's kingdom in your aspirations, and you were very happy at the mere thoughts of what might happen when you get in condition to have your home and a place devoted to the receipt of spiritual messages and influences. The Paget Messages 1915, what you imagined might take place, possibly can, if you should get into such a condition of spiritual development as your thoughts led you to believe that you might. Of course the Master will not materialize as you conceived he might, but he will be there with all his power and love, and the Holy Spirit will shed his love over and through the sitters as you imagined. I do not know just what the Master will do for you before you have finished his messages, but I will not be surprised at anything, as he seems to love you with an exceptional love and to be interested to a wonderful degree in your welfare both spiritual and physical. So my dear son, only have more faith and more love for God, and there is no telling what future blessings are in store for you. You are not yet in condition to take the Master's message, or rather to finish his last one, but after this month you will be, for several cares will be removed, and then your mind will be free to think along the right lines of thought. You will become a very happy man in the near future. With all my love, I am your grandmother, Anne Rollins. I am here, your own true Helen. You didn't think I could change the announcement of my coming, but you must know that I can do anything to please you, my dear Ned. Yes, you have, and I have been so very happy. Well, sweetheart, I must tell you that I am very happy and am progressing very rapidly. I don't expect to remain in this celestial sphere very much longer, for my love and faith are so great that I feel that I must get closer to God's fountainhead of love. Only think, one short year ago and I was a mortal, and now I am in the celestial sphere. Doesn't it seem like some fairy dream? But it is all true, and I am so happy. I will soon be with you in a long letter, telling you of this great love, and how much I love God and you. No, you won't, for you are progressing too. You may not realize it, but it is true, and if you should come over now, you would be surprised to find yourself in a high sphere. Well, I know how you feel, but you must believe that I can see your spiritual condition better than you can. Well, that may be so, but when you get this great love in your heart in sufficient abundance, and you have much of it now, your sins will be blotted out. This is the law of regeneration, 84, otherwise, the man who continues without this love, and the man who receives it, would be in the same condition, and the new birth would mean nothing. So do not think that this great love is not sufficient to cleanse the soul of their results of the sins of earth life, and, best of all, it cleanses while you are immortal. I know that the spiritualists quote and proclaim the law of recompense or compensation, but there is a higher law that nullifies that law, and when love, this divine love, comes into the soul of a mortal, the law of compensation is removed from the scope of its working, for love is the fulfilling of the law. So do not let that stumbling block make you believe that this great love is not sufficient to remove all sin and error, and to purify your soul so that you may become fitted to live in the kingdom of the Father and become one with Him. No, the love is for the vilest sinner, and no man can by a mere act of restoration fit himself for the inflowing of this divine love. It is waiting for the sinner as well as for the saint, and even though your sins be as scarlet, they will be made white as wool. I mean that you will not have to wait to make recompense to mortals before this great love can do the cleansing work, else what is the use of having this great love provided for man? If he shall first make himself pure, what is the necessity for the work of the Holy Spirit? Only pray for this love and have faith, and you will get it. God is the judge of what a man shall do to render justice and restitution, and when he says that this divine love, with all its cleansing power, is for the sinner who seeks for it by true faith, who has the right to say that the sinner must first do what man may think is justice between himself and his fellow man. I know whereof I speak, for the experience of many spirits who have been redeemed by this love show that they were sinners, and had not paid the last farthing, when they received this love. God is the judge, not mortals nor spirits. So, my dear Ned, do not let the idea that you must render to every man that which you think he may be entitled to, keep you from believing in the mercy and love of the Father. Oh, how I wish I could be with you a little while in my bodily form, and tell you face to face what this great love means to you and to me and to all of us. So sweetheart, believe me when I say that even though you may be a great sinner, yet the Father's love is sufficient to remove all those sins just as soon as you can receive it. Such is the law of this great love. The Paget Messages 1915, faith and prayer can open the very heart of the celestial spheres, and love will flow down into your soul as the avalanche of snow that feels the warmth of the sun's bright rays rushes from its mountain heights when winter leaves with its chilling gloom and blasting breath for other climes. Love is not only warmth, but it is the very burnings of the soul's great storehouse of God's divine essence. I'm not only the possessor of this love to a large degree, but I realize that as I advance to higher spheres there is a greater abundance awaiting to fill my soul with its great undying fires of never-ending burnings, but burnings so great and free from everything that makes for unhappiness and discontent. I must stop now. So my own dear and precious Ned, love me as I love you and we both will be so very happy, that heaven will be with us and in us even while we are writing in the earth's surroundings. Your own, Helen. March 24, 1915. I am here, Jesus. Of course you must remember that I don't know everything that has happened or that is going to happen. I have my limitations as have other spirits, but of course my knowledge and powers are more extended than are those of other spirits. This is true because I am nearer my Father, the fountainhead of wisdom and power, and consequently can draw therefrom more than can other spirits. Yet I am limited as I said, and should you ask me some questions and I not be able to answer them with knowledge, I will tell you and you must not be surprised or disappointed at my inability to do so. I was not present and don't know and cannot guess. Well, that is a difficult question to answer, for it involves so much of my very existence that I feel that my ability is to tell you is limited. I love you so very much that I have come from my celestial home many times just to be with you and help and influence you in right thinking and living, and no spirit who has never seen the grandeur and happiness of these celestial spheres can conceive what it means to leave these precincts and mingle in the forbidding earth atmosphere. I love you so much that I am writing to exert my powers to help you in your material affairs and to keep you from worry and unhappiness as far as possible. And I love you so much that I am trying to have you become so spiritual and good that you may be fitted for a home in my sphere when the time comes for you to come over, and this latter beneficence has never yet been given to any mortal. But if you will follow me and live with me in love and unison, you will be able to experience this great transformation and become an inhabitant of my home as I said. Well, you are a sinner, as you say. But when I tell you of how you may become so spiritual and good, you must believe me, for I know whereof I speak and speak in all earnestness and truth. Yes, I did, for you called me to you by your earnest aspirations and prayers to the Father. And what you then saw in your imaginings may very easily come true, except that I will never materialize again on earth. The other portions of your daydreams may become realities, and the happiness that you felt will be increased manifold. The thought that you have as to fitting up a room in the way you pictured, is one that should be carried into execution, for such a room would be very attractive to the higher spirits, and would cause many of them to assemble and give you many truths of the higher spheres. I, of course, would do my writing there, and it would be much easier for us both. The conditions would not be mixed as they necessarily are now. So when you get your home, carry out your ideas as to that room. Yes, I have, and it was one of the first times that I ever communicated with mortals. The conditions were good both for the spirits and for Dr. Peebles and his companion. But of course I did not talk in any extended manner. The spirit who transmitted the communications was not in that degree of spiritual development that enabled us to teach the higher truths in all their fullness and beauty. Dr. Peebles is a good man and very spiritually, but he does not yet know the way, the truth and the life as I taught them. He does not know the mystery of the new birth as I have taught it to you, and he is resting in the belief that if he loves God and his fellow man in the natural way, that is all that is necessary for his highest development and greatest happiness. Some day he will realize that only the divine love can give him of a divine nature, and that no self-development or cultivation of the natural love to the greatest and most sublime extent are sufficient to make him at one with the Father in the divine sense that I wrote of, and which makes the Spirit a partaker of this divine essence of the Father. So should you ever meet him, explain to him the 85, the Paget messages 1915, difference between the two loves and what the new birth means. Well, as I have written you a long message and as you want to hear from some of your band, I will close. Yes, he, Mr. Crowell, has realized the new birth and is teaching it to spirits. He seems very anxious to write more through you, and he will as soon as I tell your band that he is in a condition to not interfere with their rapport. So when he comes, listen to him, and you will learn many truths which he has learned since he came over. With my truest love and best wishes and blessings, I am your own spirit brother and friend, Jesus. I am here, your grandmother. Well, my son, what a beautiful and comforting letter you got from the Master. He was so loving and so interested in your happiness that he seemed almost like a new relative. I mean that in the human sense. Of course, he is nearer to you in love than any of us, because his capacity for loving is so much greater. But he seemed so very human in the sense of coming so close to you and making you feel that you and he are true brothers. I doubt if he has ever come so close to any mortal before. His love for you seems to be a thing of no limitation or bound. He loves you so much that he even lets his love do things which he does not engage in among mortals. I mean in interfering in the material things of their lives. As he said, spirits of lesser greatness and development help mortals in their earthly affairs, and we all wonder that Jesus should make himself so humble, as we say, to do what he has done for you. But he knows what is best, and you should feel yourself among the most blessed of men. I know that you cannot understand this, and neither can we, but he is the wisest of us all, and the most powerful, and when he tells you a thing, you may believe it. Of course, his great mission is to teach the wonderful truths of his Father, and he sees the best way to disseminate them among mankind. You have been selected by him for this work, and you will do it with all your heart and soul. I know. I know how you feel, and you will be able to carry out your desires, for he has decreed it and it will be done. So my dear son, consider yourself as one set aside for this great work, and let all your ambitions and aspirations urge you to its performance. Well, he knows, and when he said it, he knew what your future would be. It is certainly marvelous, and we all thank the Father that you have such wonderful promises. Only pray and have faith, and you will realize these promises. Yes, I know that you are a very great sinner, but you know this great love of the Father was created, or rather has always been, for the redemption of the vilest sinner who seeks and believes. Yes, and I was astonished at his answers. They involve so much that you will not readily comprehend their full significance until you have progressed more in your spiritual development. But know this, that such love as he expressed is sufficient to help you in every time of trouble and to make you a wonderfully bright and happy man and spirit. His love is past finding out. Neither do I now, but someday you will, and there will come such an avalanche of happiness as will almost transport you to the celestial spheres. Oh my dear boy, you have before you a wonderful future of love and happiness if you will only follow the Master's teachings and do his will, and reciprocate his love. Well dear, I must stop now as others are here and want to write. I have met Garfield and have had a talk with him. He is a spirit of wonderful intellect, but of not much spiritual development. I told him of this great love and how it operates and what results it brought to the believing spirits. I think that he was somewhat impressed and is now thinking about the matter and frequently talking to Mr. Riddle on the subject. You will be surprised to learn how Mr. Riddle has progressed in faith and love, and is praying all the time for more light and greater abundance of love. He will soon be in the fifth spirit sphere, where your father and Professor Salyers are, and they will find congenial companionship. He will soon write you a long letter telling of his progress. He seems to love you with a very wonderful love and is with you very often, trying to help you and comfort you. Well, I must say good night, your loving grandmother, Anne Rollins. I am here, your own dear and loving Helen. Well, see how obedient I am, but it was a very great pleasure to obey you in that way, as you know. Well, sweetheart, you have had some wonderful messages tonight, and I feel that they will help you very much in your moments of trouble and worry. I was so glad that the Master wrote you as he did. 86, The Paget Messages 1915. He was so very loving and brotherly and seemed to be so much interested in your welfare. He is so beautiful that we all stand and gaze at him, as you say on earth, and so loving that we feel that he is our great big, loving brother. I tell you that without him this spirit world would not be the place of happiness that it is to us who believe in him and love him and follow his teachings. So many spirits do not know him as their loving brother and wayshower, and they are left to their own thoughts to find happiness. So you see the great privilege and opportunity we, who know him as the Son of the Father, have over those who know him not. Having eyes, they see not, and ears they hear not. It seems so strange to me, but I tell you that it is true. The Master, with his great love and wisdom and power, passes them by and they see him not. I try so hard to teach many spirits what a knowledge of him means, but they seem so dull of comprehension and so darkened in their soul's development, that my work is often in vain. Yet I have hope and continue my work, knowing that at some unexpected moment a ray of light may break in and they commence to think that God lives to give them his great love, and take them to his care and protection in the way that we have told you of. My heart yearns so for these blind spirits and willful rejecters of the truth of the new birth. Many of these spirits are very excellent moral people and live lives of uprightness and love for their fellow spirits, and work very hard to help the less enlightened to progress to conditions of comparative happiness, and yet they, themselves, will not listen to our teachings of the greater truths, which if understood and obeyed would carry them to conditions of inexpressible happiness. Well, such is the work of spirits on earth as well as here, and we are all trying to do the work of the Father in helping to redeem souls. You are much better than when you came to your room tonight, and I am so glad of it. Only trust in the Master's promises and you will not be disappointed. I heard what he said about your progressing to a condition, even while on earth, that would enable you to enter the celestial spheres when you come over, and I believe it to be true. Now you must try to get this very great development because when you come to me I want you to come to my home to live. Won't that be joyful? Yes, my dear Ned, I knows that you will try, and I will help you so hard to accomplish it and so will all. But your great helper will be the Master, for you will be with him 87, so much that his love will overshadow you so that your soul will have to develop. So you see how you are blessed in all this. Try to do his work with all your heart and soul, and you will succeed. Yes, I heard, and when the time comes I will be with you to suggest and advise, and you will have a beautiful room for your purpose. And I know that we will have many joyous evenings together. We will bring heaven with us, and you will live in it for minutes at a time. You will then hear our voices in talk and song, feel our presence so palpably that you will know that we are with you. I am so anxious for that time to come, as are all of us. Yes, we will all try to help you get the home and then you will be fixed for life. Well, wait until the time comes, and you may change your mind. Of course, I would prefer that you should not, and if your comfort and happiness could be provided for otherwise, I would rather have it as you suggest. But you will have to wait. Well, sweetheart, you have written much and must stop. She is well and a little troubled, but it will soon disappear as you will do what the Master said. So with all my love, and with many hugs and kisses, I am your own true and loving, Helen. March 26, 1915. I am here, Jesus. Faith, it is that degree of belief that enables you to know, as a reality, that what presents itself to your consciousness as a truth is in fact a truth, and an existing condition. It is not a mere intellectual belief, but a belief of the soul which makes the belief a reality. I know that this faith is the only one that can make you realize that I am who and what I declare myself to be. Let this faith take possession of your soul, and you will be a very happy and progressive man. I am not here tonight to discuss spiritual subjects, but merely to help you in your troubles over material things. When you get in proper condition to write my messages, then I will finish my last subject which we left unfinished. So my dear brother, and friend and worker, try to let these things leave your mind, and believe what I tell you, for I say again that they will come true. Well, the devil is with you all the time. He is not a person as many think, but merely the evil suggestions that result from the operations of the thoughts of the unregenerate man. Every man has his devils, who cling close to him, and can only be gotten rid of by the operations of the Holy Spirit. So do not think that the devil is something that has. The Paget Messages 1915, for more independent personality, for he is not. You are the creator and nourisher of your own devil, and until you get into a state which leaves no room for his presence, he will abide with you. Well, the influences and suggestions that come from evil spirits would not have any effect, if man were not in that condition of sympathy with such spirits as enables them to become, as it were, a part of him. I know that many men are possessed or obsessed by these evil spirits, but if they, the men, would only seek the higher spiritual conditions, these spirits would not harm them. Well, that is one of the subjects of my messages, and I will delay to answer until I write that message. Yes, the time will soon come when you will know these things. I must stop now, as you are not in condition to write much more. So with my true and brotherly love, I am, Jesus. March 29, 1915. I am here, Laura Burrows, your cousin. Oh, my dear Edward, you do something to help me. I am so unhappy and need help so much. I am in such darkness and pain that I can scarcely see the light of day, I mean the light that enables me to see my surroundings. I am also so lonely and without love or sympathy. I feel that you can help me, so pray do so. Yes, I have seen several beautiful spirits, but I did not believe that they had interest enough in me to help me, and so I turned aside from them. I don't understand why I am in this condition, and no one has explained it so far. I thought that maybe you might show me some way to get out of my awful condition. I thought so because I saw other spirits writing to you who are in this darkness as I am, and they said that you had helped them. Why I see Aunt Nancy and your mother and Helen and your father and others, I don't know. How beautiful and happy they look to be. Why are they so beautiful? Oh, if I could only be like them. Tell me, Ed, why it is, and tell me what made them so. Yes, I will, and she is calling me now. Oh, how glad that I came here. I feel better already. Dear Aunt Nancy, she will love me, I know, and so will Cousin Anne and Helen. Oh, how glad I am. I am now going with them, so goodbye my dear cousin, Laura Burrows. I am here, Sirik. Let me say a word, I'm your late friend and brother in spiritualism. Yes, I am able to write some, and your wife told me to try, as she wishes me to get stronger and realize that I am living as a spirit. Well, I am here and alive and have my Rose with me. She is so very beautiful and loving, and I am very happy to be with her, but I have already learned that I am not suited to live with her, for she is so much higher in her spiritual development than I am, but she tells me that I can progress, and I am going to try with all my might. Well, old friend, the uncertain has become certain, and I know now that spirits can and do communicate with mortals. So let any doubts that you may have, leave you, and believe with all your heart that you have received the messages from your band and others as you have been informed. I can tell you this, that you have as your wife and soulmate the most beautiful of all the spirits that I have yet seen. I had no conception of what beauty was until I came here and saw your wife and Rose and Dr. Stone's Mary. She is very beautiful also, and loves him, I know, with a very deep love. As this is my first attempt, I am tired and must stop. Well, I know no one whom I would rather that it should belong to than you, so keep it and think of me sometimes. So with my kindest regards and best wishes, I am your true friend, Frank D. Sirik. I am here, Helen. Well, you have received a letter from the judge. He was so anxious to write that we thought it would do him good to try, as it would make him realize more sensibly that he is now a spirit only, and also strengthen him. Well, you may not think so, but it is a fact. With many spirits, when their surroundings are good and much spirit help is given them, they can, almost as soon as they leave the body, overcome their functions of mind and do things that you little expect. The judge was prepared, to some extent, to understand this power of communication, and when we all assisted him with our powers, he tried successfully to write to you. He is not yet very strong, but soon will be, and then I have no doubt he will want to write to you often, but of course we cannot permit him to, because he is not in rapport with our band.